Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
Now, my next guest is an American ER doctor from Washington, D.C., who's volunteering now in Gaza with the charity Humanity Auxilium. She's currently working across Gaza in different hospitals and, in a recent interview with CNN, described the aftermath of Israeli airstrikes as absolutely horrific. Dr. Razan Al-Nahas told of how the heavily wounded patients and bodies, including children, are piling up with multiple explosions within just the span of a few minutes back to back, she says. Well, just before coming on air, I spoke with Dr. Razan Al-Nahas from Nasser Hospital and first asked her about where she's worked since arriving in Gaza 3 weeks ago.
Prior to the 18th, there was this supposed ceasefire. So things were not quiet. They were quite busy, especially at Al Ahli Hospital in Gaza City. It's a very, very small hospital that is seeing populations way beyond its capacity. So it was quite busy, both with medical cases and, unfortunately, even with traumatic cases. We were seeing a lot of quadcopter attacks, secondary injuries from the war, from children falling from second story, third story, fourth story buildings that are just don't have appropriate foundations anymore. And a lot of explosions and direct attacks, which, you know, so from my perspective, there truly was no ceasefire at that point. But then since the 18th, I mean, things have been dramatically changed and devastating, to say the least. I was in Gaza previously, but what I experienced on the 18th was like nothing I could even have imagined.
Like what? What do you mean?
To start, I had only been in bed for about an hour, and the room that I sleep in, all of the windows in the hospital are shattered. So I'm right beneath a window. And I think it was around like 2:10 a.m., 2:15, when the explosions began. I mean, to wake up to that, not just sound, but the force of the missiles dropping, the entire building shook. You feel the gust of wind coming through the window. It was horrific. I mean, honestly, up until last night when I got to Nasser Hospital, like I hadn't been able to actually properly sleep at night since then.
What kind of injuries? And you say the entire building shook. It was quite near, else the explosives were very heavy. What kind of injuries were you dealing with?
So within 10, 15 minutes, ran down to the ER, and it was everything. I mean, we had martyrs come in bags, body parts that, you know, just to identify, okay, this is someone who's been killed, multiple dead bodies, injuries, everything from head injuries, exposed brain matter, penetrating chest wounds, abdominal wounds, extremity injuries, fractures, amputations. What was really shocking to me was the number of young babies who had just debris on their external surface, no actual wounds, no shrapnel. A lot of them were pulled out from the rubble, but they would either come in dying or dead. I pronounced a few of these young babies. I think the youngest was maybe 6 months old. And you look at him and you're like, oh, he's fine. And then you look closer and they're not breathing. They don't have a pulse. They're dead. And I think just from the sheer force of the explosion or from the crush injury without having many external wounds, they just come in dead. And lots of children. The children were just lined up on the ground.
And how quickly do you have to assess them before you move on to the next person?
It was very chaotic. I mean, it's hard to even identify who's been assessed, who hasn't been assessed, who's had vitals done, who hasn't had vitals done. So, you know, with the team that we had, there were patients that I think 5-6 hours later were just being assessed because of how, I mean, how do you can't, there's no option for triage and, determining, who's black, who's green, there were a few patients eventually once, we realized, okay, we're still getting more. We started to get the walking patients up and outside under a tent. Identify that these are lower acuity patients, but for the most part, it was such a chaotic environment that you, I would just see a patient and I would work with them and then move on to the next one. I would see that patient, work with them, move on to the next one. And many times you would see the patient and realize very quickly that given the lack, the resources, which we had none, we didn't have a single ventilator in the emergency department. I would look at this patient and I know what they need. They need to be intubated. And they need to go to the operating room. I know that neither is an option. So I have to tell myself to walk away. And then I have to also, when I see my colleagues spending time, I have to tell them, hey, we need to walk away from
So
this patient.
walk away
And
knowing they'll die, is that right?
knowing that they'll die, yes, 100%,
God, what
knowing
does
that
that
they'll
feel
die.
like? What does that feel like?
It feels horrible. I mean, just seeing a child, and if they had family members next to them, they're begging you, pleading with you to do something, and that there's literally nothing that you can do. And then, because of the fact that there are so many other casualties, you have to divert your attention elsewhere with the hope that maybe you can save another life. It feels terrible. It feels,
And that for those parents and the family, you are their only hope. The 6 month baby that died, I mean, did you have to tell that boy's parents that I'm sorry, I can do nothing, he's dead?
That boy's parents were dead. It was actually his cousin who was holding him, and his cousin himself, I think, is probably only 14 or 15 years old. I had assessed him when he first came in, and I told them. And then a couple hours later, the young boy is still holding the child, and I had another doctor come up to me and say, hey, this child doesn't look well. Has anyone assessed him? And I told him, yes, I have. And I've already explained to them that he's dead. And I actually went back and I re-examined the child in front of the boy and, explained to him that he is dead again. And I think that he comprehended, but I think that he just didn't want to let go. But the worst part that night was a lot of, we had many children that had no family members that we could identify. And then the next day, as I started to round on the patients that did make it, I would realize, oh, this patient that I took care of was the sister of this patient. And then in the other room was the mother who is now dead. And I'm piecing together the family connections. But in the moment, I have children screaming and yelling, and there's no relative nearby. I had a little girl with a really horrific arm injury. Both bones were broken in the lower arm, and in the upper arm, the humerus was broken, and it's just open injury. And she's just screaming, screaming, screaming nonstop. We splinted her arm, and then we kept her on the stretcher, moved on to the next patient. Maybe 10 minutes later, she fell from the bed. There's no one to watch her. She literally fell from the bed. And then I go and I picked her up and I put her back. And then later she got up, she starts walking over other patients, walking over them, and she falls on top of another patient. So now I'm like, okay, I need to take care of this. I grabbed her, I picked her up, I walked with her, put her outside in the green air, but she's just screaming nonstop. I can't calm her down. There's nobody with her to take care of her. I mean, it was a really, really horrible experience, because I just wanted someone to sit with this little girl and just hold her and hug her and tell her that she was okay.
What age was
And
she?
she was 9, and she's doing well. She ended up having surgery for her arm, and I was checking up on her daily. Her sister is 15, and at the time she did not recognize that it was her sister next to her on the bed, because her sister's face was so severely burned she was unrecognizable.
What is the image, Razan? What is the image, Dr. Al-Nahas, that stays with you when you try to sleep at night?
I think it's the image of the body is just being carried into the ER, like the mangled body is just being pulled in. And it's more so not even just the image, it's the sound and the feeling of the explosion.
What you've described, I think, will stay with people an awful long time, I think. Dr. Razan Al-Nahas, thank you so much for joining us on the programme.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
Thank you.